Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being here on the Stars of Heaven Networks 22 with your hostess, Lisa Ray, and I hope you enjoy your Sunday, this beautiful sunny Sunday, and I am elated and honored to be with you once again to break bread and to share all the wonderful things that God has opened up to us, opened up to me for you, in declaring all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I pray that this message finds you well and you are enjoying your Sunday. And I don't know if this broadcast will air, but I will process, shall I say, but I'm doing it anyway in hopes that when it's completed, any errors, they will just go and fix it. So I'm doing it by faith, speaking by faith, because I was so excited to pronounce the blessing of the benediction upon you. I said, okay, you know what, God, I'm just going to do it. I don't know if it's going to air yet, but I'm here, and you're here. So praise the Lord. So I'm really excited to pronounce the blessing of the benediction upon you for February's offering, a time of celebrating the smisha, which is joy of true love. And I tell you one thing that will never fail, and that's love. It never fails. It will never go out of style. And it's always the order of the day. Love is always the order of the day. And I tell you, love never dies. It just transmutes. And so know that whenever you share, you've given love, it's never in vain. It's never in vain, because that love that you shared from your heart with good intentions, even though the person may not receive it, even though it might not have been reciprocated, even if it has been received and it didn't bear the fruit, or you didn't feel and receive the affection, the nourishment from it, know that it's been put into the universe and it's going to come back to you 100-fold. So never doubt your love. Never doubt the love that you've received. hold it in the light of God, in the light of Christ, and just watch it come back. Watch it come back. And the most important love to experience is the love of God, truly the love of God. And that's why I'm here, because his love enfolds me. It encamps me. It just keeps me alive. His passion for me never fails, and I love that. Every day I wake up in his love and his mercy. And I hope and you know that you are too, because every day you wake up is a blessing. And so I'm so excited to declare this declaration, exhortation, that I have entitled, My beloved is mine, and I am his. And I tell you, I was so excited to share this, because this declaration that was between the Shulamite bride and Solomon were their vows. This, my beloved is mine and I am his, was the original vow that sealed their love, that was the cord that bound them together. And this was received and adopted by the Jewish faith, that when we say, my beloved is mine and I am his, that's sealing the love that we have for God, and that's binding us to him. So I'm really excited to declare this declaration on today, and know that truly you are his and he is yours. And that's exactly what Jesus declared when he said, all of thine are mine. And all mine are thine, and yours are mine, and I've lost none. And I tell you, I just love that rhyme and that poetic word that he spoke, because he was entwining us to him. He was, knitting us to him and declaring to the Father that what you've given me, I've given back to you, and what you have is what I have. And so I love that so much. So be encouraged by the love that God has bestowed upon us by way of Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood. Now, before I get into the exhortation from the Song of Solomon, I'm going to go and just recap quickly the offering and when I posted it, which seems ages ago. Oh, my God, so much is happening. So much is happening since I released the offering in the beginning of the month. And I really tell you how time is fleeting and how precious time is and how things change. And now more than ever do we need to be anchored in the Lord. Our soul needs to be anchored. Now more than ever do we need to know who our Savior is and choose him daily. Put him on daily. So I'm really excited to share the smisha, which is the joy of true love, which is always represented and reflected by light, because love is always in the light, not in the darkness. It's in the light. It's declared in the light. Love might sometimes appear to be overshadowed by darkness, but know that the love that God has for us, his fire, his passion, his glory, his presence, would always bring us through. And that's why it's so important that we know how to keep our candlesticks lit, keep our flame burning brightly, and know that that passion that God has for us, the passion of Christ, the joy that was set before him, that we are now able to be called children of the light, sheep of his pasture, and we have an adoption of our Father, that now we are glorified in him because he himself was the light. Now, again, Father God is the creator of light, and in him there is no darkness. And that's according to John 8, chapter 12, verse. And Jesus spoke and said to them that he, to his disciples who chose him and chose to follow him, I am the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness,
but shall have the light of life. The light of life. And it's really important to understand what Jesus said, and not only understand what he said, but embody what he said by being in his image and his likeness. Because having the light of Christ is life. I mean, it's just a matter of creation. If you're in the dark and you're full of darkness and you do dark deeds, you're blind. But if you're in the light shines. It exposes and reveals what's in the darkness. So Jesus always talked about the light and declared himself to be the light, because he knew that by God anointing him, by God sending him into the earth, he needed to be the beacon that we needed so that we could have hope in this present world, which is ruled by the prison of power, the air, rules of darkness of this age. Now, John, the first chapter, verse 1 through the 5th verse says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made." So this is where John, who was the apostle of Jesus Christ, a true believer, declared, being a witness, that God was in the beginning. And all things were created by him. Without him, nothing was created, because this is God's world. We didn't create it ourselves. We were born into this world, and it originated from God. And John goes on to say that, and without him, anything was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. So that's the thing you need to understand about being born again and being confessing the light, walking in the light, that darkness will not comprehend or understand the things of God, the things of light, because they're in darkness. Their heart has been darkened. Their foolish heart has been darkened because of rebellion and being seduced and for the God of this world has blinded their mind. So convince someone who's in darkness, unless God shines the light upon their heart, what the light is all about. And a lot of times people choose darkness, as the Word of God says, rather than light, lest they come to the light and their deeds be reproved. So many people who choose the darkness want to be in darkness because they do the deeds of their father, the devil, which is what Jesus said, "You are of the father, the devil, and of his works will you do." So, and he said, but those who come into the light want their deeds to be revealed so that they could have mercy. Hallelujah. So there's no two ways about it. There's no gray areas. It's either you're light or you're in darkness. There's also obscurity, which is what the enemy comes to do, to obscure us, that of the light, to try to blind us or cover us up. And, of course, none of that, because great is he that's in us and he's in the world. Now, the Shemisha of Christ, again, was before Christ, who endured the cross and despised the shame. And this love is by the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And that's what God shed upon Jesus every step of the way through the stages of the cross. He always confirmed him. He always said, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." And that love now shines abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is no longer with us in the earth realm physically as he was. He's now with us spiritually. He's now with me spiritually because he's in my heart. And it's the heart that man comes to believe in Christ Jesus. And so with the heart and with the mouth, salvation is made. So you are the author of your faith and your fate. Which your faith is determined by your faith. And that is birthed from our heart. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. But by you confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. And that's what exactly what we need in this time, salvation. We need the love of God. Now, Romans, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse, is what another scripture that I put on my website on the offering as a foundational scripture, because of that love, we're now justified. And we're justified by faith. And that justification is because although we didn't see Jesus, I've never seen him, I've never walked with him in the natural, I believe that he was here. I believe what he did, and I believe it by faith. And again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And because of this faith, we have what? Peace with God. Hallelujah. Peace with God. That means he's not angry with us anymore. He's not angry with us because we reconciled our sins with him. I've reconciled my sins by way of repentance. And I keep peace with God because I seek peace and I pursue it. And what God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. And he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's important for you to know. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of his peace was upon our chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So everything that God did, he did through his son, Jesus Christ, so we may have peace with him, prosperity, wealth, safety, and most importantly, love. Now he goes on to say, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation will get patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed. And that's what Jesus did. When he allowed himself to be down on the cross, he was despised and ashamed. He was hoping that when he shed his blood, stretched his arms out, and allowed him to be crucified, that we would come. And that hope has come to pass. With me and with you right now. Now, he said that hope make it not ashamed, because what? The love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I tell you, there's no way I could truly love, even love my enemies, those who I know hate me, those who I know don't like me for no reason, is God, the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, we need to have the love of God to be able to release those things. You have to have the place to put that hurt, that betrayal, those wounds. Christ can heal those things. And it's shed abroad through our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And so we have to keep our hearts pure. We have to ask God to release those things that have hurt our heart and hurt our soul, and ask him to heal us. And I tell you, if you just keep on choosing to love, he will heal, and he will continue to heal you as you release those things to him. Now, he says, shed abroad in the hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I just wanted to make sure I read that, and you can actually go to my website and see it until the new offering is posted. And that's something that we can, you know, hang our hats on. That's something we can truly rest in. That while we were yet sinners, God, Christ died for the ungodly. So that dying and that loving is unfailing, and it's timeless. And the beauty about the love of Christ and him dying is that it endures to all generations. It's timeless. The gospel will never go out of style. The gospel will ever be the the good news and the way that God chose to bring about salvation. And I tell you, it's good to know that he's our blessed hope. Now I'm going to get right into Solomon, the second chapter, the 16th to the 17th verse. And this is the Song of Solomon. And this was their song. This was their declaration. This was their communication of love. And it starts off with the Shunammite bride saying and declaring, "My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He pastures his flock among the lilies." And this is so beautiful, because not only was she speaking about him, but this is God speaking to us, being the sheep of his pasture. Jesus said, "You should go in and out and find pasture. I'm the good shepherd. I'll lead you in and lead you out to find pasture." And that's exactly what this prophetic poem, love poetry, is declaring, and him speaking to his church, but also speaking personally, because this is their song between the two lovers. And now she goes on to say in verse 17, "Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, return quickly, my beloved, and be like the gazelle or a young stag on the mountain of Belair, which separates us." Hallelujah. And I love that. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away. And that's exactly what God did when he created Adam and Eve. He intended for him to enjoy the cool of the day. But it was when Adam fell and when Eve fell that the shadows came. And this is what he's saying, the shadows flee away. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to take away the shadow, those things that come to shadow us. He came to rebuke them, bind them by his presence. And I love that about the word of God, where he says, "For this reason was the Son of Man manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." And that's why it's so important to have the anointing and the presence of God in your life, is that he'll remove the shadows. Even the shadow of death shall flee away. Now, again, she goes on to say, "Return quickly." And that's exactly what God is saying. "Return quickly to me, my beloved. If you've gone astray, if you've lost your way, return. Make haste to come back to me." Those who have backslidden, who've left God, "Return quickly, my beloved," because he said, "I'm what? Married to the backslider." But in this poem, she's saying to him to return quickly, my beloved, and be like the gazelle or the young stag on the mountain. And I love that, because that is so in divine order of the alignment for this month. And celebrating the ram. She says, "Be as the gazelle," which is a young deer, "or as a young stag upon the mountain." And I love that, because the stag is a mature deer, which separated us, which separates us. So this is where they were, their love call to each other. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying to us. And that's the exact invitation to us, is to come up higher, come closer to him, come closer. The word of God also says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so this love call that she has with him was for him to come back quickly, because they were separated. And the thing that I love about this as well is that, you know, even though she gave the love call to him, the thing is that they met. And even though there was a separation period, her desire was for him to return quickly. And as I was reading this and studying this before I came on air, one thing I was just thinking about was how love is, how love must have her patient work. And, you know, you can't hurry love. That's the Supreme saying. You can't hurry love. You just have to wait. Yeah. And so you have to wait on love for it to mature. And so in Song of Solomon, the same chapter, we see the bride's adoration, where it says, I am the rose of the plain, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, that grows in deep places. Hallelujah. And I love that because this admiration that she has, she's declaring herself to be the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, that grows in deep places. And that's exactly what Jesus is to us. That's exactly what our Blessed Mother is to us. He's hidden us in the cleft of the rock. He's hidden us under the shadow of his wings. And we grow in deep places. And love is always just a seed that grows deeper. Now, the response of the bridegroom was this. Like the lily among the thorns, so you are, my darling, among the maidens. So he was extolling her and saying that she was the fairest of them all. And like the lily among thorns, so are you among the darling among the maidens. So even though that there's thorns, there's things going on in the world that may be hard and darkened and evil, he says we are like the lily among those thorns. And not only the lily, we are the salt of the earth. Now, the Shunammite's bride response to the bridegroom was like an apple tree, rare and welcome among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. Hallelujah. And again, I love this illustration of the apple because it talked about trees. And trees, again, are sacred. And in the same book of Song of Solomon, he also says, declare to keep me as the apple of your eye. Now, he also says, so is my beloved among the young men. So again, she's extolling him. She's exhorting him. She's giving him praise and letting him know how much she loves him. And that's the same thing that we should be doing with God every day, telling God how much we love him, let him know we trust him despite whatever's going on. You're my rock, Lord. You're my salvation. Your banner over me is love. Those decrees and declarations and affirmations are very important in keeping your strength and keeping your faith strong. We have to tell God how much he loves us and sing to him and sing praise to him so he can know and the enemy can know where our love lies and where our love lives, and that's the Lord. Now, he goes on to say, well, she goes on to say, I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet and delicious to my palate. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's exactly what David said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I tell you, in this new year, this new calendar, it's about harvest and fruit. And when we dine at the Lord's table and we feast at his table, that's what we will get is good fruit, a good harvest. Now, she said it was delicious to my palate, that means sweet to her taste. In verse 4, she says, he has brought me to his banquet palace place, and his banner over me is love. And that was a beautiful thing that she was saying, that he brought me to. And the Lord said, he will lead and guide us to all truth. He brought me to the banquet place. She didn't bring herself. He brought her because what? He chose her. And that's the thing. We can't make ourselves and make God love us. We can't earn God's love. He loves us anyway. But when he favors us, it's because he's pleased with us and we've met the requirements. As I was saying yesterday on the broadcast, the promise of God is on condition. They're yes and amen, but they're a prerequisite. And that's because so we can hold the blessing, and so the blessing can speak and declare God's glory, and so that the blessings can bear fruit, continue to bear fruit. Not just one time and in one season, but forever. And although that tree might go through different seasons, its roots and what's been planted deep down based on the roots will forever spring up in the season. So I love that. He brought me to the banquet table because of his favor and because of his love, because of invitation. And his banner over me is love, waving overhead to protect and comfort me. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's exactly what I have in God. I can trust him. I know his banner over me is love. He's always waving his banner over me, his love, his hand over me. His heart is always extended to me. And I love that. I love that. And that's what God wants to know, that his banner over us is love to protect us and to comfort us. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 5, it says, sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am sick with love. Oh, my God. Sick with love. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I so know that feeling about being in love, because when you are deeply in love with someone, sometimes you just get sick. You feel sick, and it's not a sick like being ill, but it's like a deep love that it touches your soul, that it changes you. And to be sick in love, it's a beautiful thing. And if you've ever experienced that, it's something that changed your soul. It's something that changed your DNA. And that speaks to the power of love. And so that's what she was saying. I'm sick with love. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. And that's another thing that's declared in this month's alignment. God's left hand, when he says that let your left hand know what your right hand do it, the left hand represents the world, business, and the right hand represents fellowship. He said, let it embrace me. So she wanted the right and the left part of the blessing of his love and his protection. Now, the bridegroom in verse 7 says, I command that you take an oath, O daughter of Jerusalem, by the gazellers or by, let's see, or by the doves, I think I put that wrong, which run free, that you do not rouse nor awaken my love until she pleases. So he says, I command that you take an oath, O daughter of Jerusalem. And that's exactly why God gave me that declaration for the blessing of the benediction, and declaring that I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. Because in our oath, in our vows to God, that's the thing that binds us to him, and that's the thing that he will honor when we honor our vows to him. So when he was telling her to take an oath, he was saying, declare your love for me, O daughter of Jerusalem, by the gazellers or by the field. And that means by heaven or by earth. And the thing that I love about this, it says that you do not rouse or awaken love until she pleases. And so love, again, takes time. And this whole poetry and love song they were singing was their longing to be together and wanting to declare and seal that love by their declarations and by their oaths. And again, love is not something you can force. They accepted each other because they loved God. And that's the thing that I love about this psalm. It was this Song of Solomon. It was also witnessed by their community. Let me see. He goes on to say, in the Shulamite's bride response in verse 8 says, "Listen, my beloved, behold, he comes climbing on the mountains, leaping and running on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is gazing through the lattice." Hallelujah. And I love that because she keeps referring to him as a stag, a young stag. And that speaks to the freshness of their love. They say, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He's gazing through the lattice. That means he's waiting for the right moment. He has insight of what's to come. He's behind the wall. He's looking through the veil, gazing through the lattice, imagining, having vision of what it would be to be with his beloved when they're united. Now, verse 10 says, "My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, and the rain is gone over. The flowers appear on the earth once again. The time for singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's the sound of spring. That's the sound of spring. And that's exactly what God is saying in this time, that spring is coming. Come away, my fair one, and receive your instruction. For winter is now passing. The rain is gone over, and the flowers are now appearing and will appear. It's the time of singing has come for us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, verse 13 says, "The fig tree has budded and ripens her figs, and the vines are in blossom and give forth their fragrance." Hallelujah. It's time for what we have incubated and dream lodging. It's time for that fragrance to come forth. Hallelujah. And it's nothing like the smell of spring. It's nothing like the smell of what God has given us that's now being birthed. And it's nothing like the smell of a newborn baby. And that's what many of us are now preparing to bring forth in the spring season. And he goes on to say, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away to climb the rocky steps of the hillside." The bridegroom's response was, "Oh, my dove, here in the cleft of the rock, in the shelter and secret place of the steps of the steep pathway, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." And the chorus, meaning the community, those who witness this, he says, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyard." And that was really beautiful when I read that, because God said, although all this lovely this is going on, the love calls and the poetry and the declaration of love and his desire to see her face and saying her voice is sweet and her face is lovely, he said, "Beware, watch as well as pray, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You have to catch the little foxes that will come to spoil your vine." So although God is loving on us and he's given us the blessings, and we're experiencing the blessings of God and plentifulness, and God is answering our prayers, we have to be aware that there's a thief, the wolf in sheep clothing, the howling, the great mother of harlots that come to steal, kill, and destroy the true vine. And what are foxes? Foxes are sly little creatures. They can really sly and can move really quickly. So we have to be woke and truly the Shunammite bride and the bridegroom was woke. They were woke to love, to their love, but they also had to be awakened to the spirit that would keep their love blossoming, keep their love strong. They had to be aware of the things that were around them in their vineyard, because that's what the little foxes come to do. They come to spoil and ruin the vineyard of love. And that's all the enemy's after when it comes to our relationship with God. He's after our love for God. He's after your love for God because he's angry and mad that you no longer serve him. You're not a slave to sin anymore. He hates that you're shining beautifully. He hates that I'm a glorious bride and I'm shining with great love and fire of God's presence. So you have to be aware. The thing the enemy's trying to do is try to kill your love of God, kill your passion for God, kill your passion and love for anything that's called of God. That's what you have to protect, your relationship. And he says, while our vineyards are in blossom. So he's indicating when the foxes are trying to come and steal, when things are blossoming and blooming, when it's ripe, when it's time to pick, harvest time. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read the last part before my time expires. It says, the Shunammite bride, this is her exchange, this is her declaration, my beloved is mine and I am his. She said that in the first and now she's saying it again. He pastures his flocks among the lilies until the cooler day when the shallows be away. Return quickly, my beloved, and be like the gazelle or the young stag on the mountains of Beulah, which separate us. Now I already had that, so that I guess that was something I put on, I have to change that. But yeah, verse 15 is the last verse. The little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyards of love, which our vineyards are in blossom. And it's on that note I'm going to leave you. Thank you so much. I bless you. I release the blessings of God upon you. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive his presence. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank and I praise you for my audience. I thank you for them receiving my witness, my testimony, oh God. Thank you for sealing February's offering with your love. Thank you, Lord, it's gone into the book of remembrance. Lord, I decree and declare the blessings upon their life. I decree and declare the fruit of your womb. The fruit of their womb shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Bless their houses, bless their homes, bless their finances, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Father God, for this word. I bless you for their presence. I thank you for this day. May God bless you and keep you. May his cause face to shine upon you and keep you in all your ways is my prayer. And as you can see, I included some Irish prayers because the Irish season is here and they're being celebrated in the heavens and before the throne. And I'm just excited. I'm excited. I'm excited about you and excited about what God's saying to your life, in your life and your soul, most importantly. And I'm honored that you've been with me for this broadcast. So with that, peace, blessing, much love. Enjoy the rest of your day and your afternoon. Take care. Love you.